Our scripture reading, once again, is from Ephesians chapter 4. Again, I'll be reading verses 17 through 32, a passage we have been reading for many weeks. That's because Paul had a lot to tell us in this small section. This evening, we're going to look in particular at verse 30. I thought about combining verses 30 through 32, but that would have meant one really long sermon or skimping out on some key things. I'd rather not skimp out on some key things. Therefore, I divided up the sermon into two different ones. And in fact, as we'll see, verse 30 could be tied with verse 29, or it could be tied with verses 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. This is the word of the living God. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he might have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, my friends, here's a question for you. Have you ever done something that made someone sad? Nobody wants to admit that, but I'm sure all of us have. Now, for some people, it bothers us a little bit, but let's be honest, there are probably individuals in your life that you would just cringe if they knew certain things about you, because their high opinion of you matters. You respect them that much that you don't want to do anything to make them sad, anything to make them disappointed in you. Well, the fact of the matter is that we as Christians all too often, because of the sin remaining in us, will frequently grieve the Holy Spirit. And my friends, if there was anyone that we should never grieve, it would be the Holy Spirit. That should be our attitude. We should be having an attitude in which we do everything we could not to disappoint the Holy Spirit, as it were. Now, the interesting thing is, there is a lot of debate as to whether or not a Christian really can grieve the Holy Spirit. First of all, I don't know how you get past Ephesians 4, verse 30 and say that you can't. Somehow we don't displease God. Well, God makes it clear in his word that Christians, because we have sin in our lives, do displease him. We are in Ephesians 4. We have been here for some weeks, especially in this section, this lengthy section where Paul reminds us to put off the old man and to put on the new. Putting off that old dirty rag of ourselves and putting on the new man, renewed in the Spirit, renewed in the Holy Spirit. And so we come to this short little verse. This short little verse that seems to almost stick out. Doesn't seem too connected to the verse before it or the verses after it. It almost seems out of place. And yet it's a verse that ought to strike to the very core of our hearts. That's what I want us to see this evening is just simply this. The Christian who does not put off the old self grieves the Holy Spirit who dwells within him. It's really that simple. The Christian who does not put off the old self grieves the Holy Spirit who dwells within him. Two simple headings for this. First of all, grieving the Spirit. And secondly, the sealing of the Spirit. So first of all, grieving the Spirit. Again, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. As I mentioned, this is a bit awkward in one sense. It seems to interrupt the flow of Paul's thought. Because it could be connected to the previous verse, but even there, it's a little bit awkward. Because you look at verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, etc. The other aspect that makes it a little bit awkward is that as you look at many of the previous verses, you have an antithesis given. The putting off and the putting on. But here, you don't have that. You simply have, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So it does make it a bit awkward. So it could be connected to the previous verse. It could be connected to the subsequent verses. Because the difficulty is, you see, there's no real put on in this verse. It's just, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But in the end, it can go either way. You see, at the end of the day, the grieving of the Holy Spirit probably can be subsumed under all of the things that we've looked at so far in the previous verses. Not merely just the corrupting talk, but also the falsehood, the being angry, the thief, and the corrupting talk. You see, all of these things grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, as we have seen in each of these cases, so it is here as well. The best translation is not, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but it's rather, stop grieving the Holy Spirit. That language ought to give us pause. Because as we've seen with respect to the putting off falsehood, the not sinning, the thief no longer stealing, and no corrupting talk coming out of our mouths, all of those were cease and desist. But see, now it gets a little bit personal. Because our sin grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves him when we sin. You see, this alone ought to give us pause. This alone ought to be a motivation for us. And Paul goes a little bit further because he just does not simply stop with do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He says do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He emphasizes it all the more. It is an important thing to know that the Holy Spirit has been given to you from above. As we confess with respect to the Holy Trinity, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. He is given by God the Father. He is sent by God the Son. Which means, of course, grieving the Holy Spirit inevitably means we grieve our Heavenly Father. We grieve our Savior who died for us. To grieve against, to sin against the Holy Spirit is to cause Him grief. Now, as a bit of a side note, this actually ends up being a wonderful proof text for the personality of the Holy Spirit. You see, there were a number of ancient church heresies that really are still with us today that deny the personality of the Holy Spirit. They deny what we understand to be the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. That somehow, first of all, you have God, then Jesus as a created being, and then the Holy Spirit as some sort of force, some sort of power. But a mere force and a mere power cannot grieve. We understand the force of gravity, right? I could take my Bible and just drop it and we'll see the force of gravity. But gravity does not grieve. The Holy Spirit grieves. He grieves when we sin. Now, notice also that what Paul is not speaking of here is the unforgivable sin. He's speaking of we Christians who sin, who struggle with the remnants and pollution and relics of sin within our lives. Yes, it is true, and it is gloriously true, that we have been redeemed by Christ, and legally, in the sight of God, we bear the perfect righteousness of Christ. But we still, in ourselves, struggle with that pollution of sin. And when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is actually an Old Testament allusion of some kind. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He turned to be their enemy and Himself fought against them. Now, notice that Paul is alluding to this verse, but Isaiah, he says, they, meaning Israel, grieved His Holy Spirit. Paul is turning that around. Well, what's the context here of Isaiah 63? Well, very briefly, Isaiah is recounting for the Israelites what God has done for them, what God has done to bring them into a covenant relationship with Him. Particular emphasis is given by Isaiah on the Exodus itself. And thus, even Isaiah, even in the Old Testament, we see that redemption is intended to be a motivation to stop sinning. But the Israelites didn't stop sinning. They continually rejected God. They went after worthless, dead, false idols, and therefore grieved the Holy Spirit. Fast forward now to Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. Your redemption far surpasses the glory of the Exodus. You who claim Christ have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a great motivator for us to stop sinning. Therefore, Paul reminds us, do not, or better yet, stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. And Paul takes that allusion from the Old Testament and changes it into a command. In the same way that they were redeemed, we are, but in a much more glorious manner. And therefore, you and I have the responsibility to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. But even in this verse, there's hope. And this brings us to our second point, the sealing of the Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, when we speak of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that is unfortunately a bit true in some churches is that the Holy Spirit is often neglected. Oh yes, we pay him lip service. We confess him in the Apostles and Nicene Creed. We mention him in passing. But we sometimes get overly Christocentric, as imagine if you can really be that way, that we neglect the work of the Holy Spirit. We neglect his person. We neglect what he has done for us as a part of the whole salvation package. We focus so much on Christ, we lose sight sometimes of even the Father. But unquestionably, the Holy Spirit is oftentimes the most neglected. Now, we don't have time tonight to get into a whole theology of the Holy Spirit. But Paul mentions the Holy Spirit quite frequently in his epistles. And therefore, he is important. As we mentioned, he is the third person of the Trinity. He is, therefore, to be worshipped and glorified. And it is by the Holy Spirit, or it could be, as Paul has it here, either by whom or in whom you were sealed. Now, to be fair, the Greek could be translated by which. And many heretics will point that out. And technically, they're true. That relative pronoun could be used for a person or it could be used for a thing. But the fact of the matter is, as you see in the previous few words, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, the pronoun must be by whom. It is a person that we grieve. One of the things that they taught us in seminary in helping us learn to properly interpret Scripture, there are three things that are key. Context, context, and context. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is a person, a divine person, as the second person in the Trinity and as the first person in the Trinity. But it is in whom or by whom, speaking of the Spirit, that you were sealed. Now notice that the language here is passive. You didn't do it. You did not seal yourself into or with the Holy Spirit. No, God did that for you. Because only God could do that. It happened to you. God sealed you with his Spirit. Now remember what a seal does and what a seal is. Perhaps some of you have a copy of your birth certificate. Not a Xerox copy, but a public, official document. And normally those have a seal, typically the stamp of the state in which you were born. You see, what a seal does, it authenticates it. It is giving the backing of the one testifying. It authenticates that the information on a birth certificate is real. Well, the Holy Spirit, my friends, is your seal. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that is God's authentication to you that His promises are true. That's what we see in baptism. Baptism signifies that sealing of the Holy Spirit. It authenticates the reality of the promises of God to you. And that's why I said there's hope that even though we grieve the Holy Spirit, you are sealed with Him. Whatever good we receive from God is bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit. All the blessings of salvation come to us by the application of those blessings by the Holy Spirit. This is what theologians like to call the economic trinity, as it were. God the Father decrees. The Son redeems, and the Spirit applies. The Holy Spirit applies the redemption purchased by Christ. The Holy Spirit unites you to Christ. The Holy Spirit sanctifies you. The Holy Spirit was the one who regenerated you. The Holy Spirit is the one who lifts us to the heavenly of heavenlies when we gather to worship. So even though when you and I sin and grieve the Holy Spirit, we are sealed with Him. We are authenticated with the promises of God by Him. That if we rest upon Him, we will continually be cleansed by the blood of Christ. There's hope. This is why Paul can tell us to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit, He empowers us to be able to not grieve Him. Remember that the Holy Spirit, as Jesus called Him, He is our Comforter. And my friends, it is the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He dwells in you. And in this way, Christ is always with you. And my friends, this then ought to be a key motivation against sinning. Because the whole of God is with us. Because of the Holy Spirit. This ought to be a motivation against sinning. It ought to be a motivation against returning to the old man. A motivation for us to put off the old man so that we do not grieve him. We do not want to grieve the one in whom and by whom and with whom we are sealed. Sealed with the promise of a glorious inheritance waiting for us. As Paul said earlier in this epistle, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of the inheritance that we are to receive. The third person of the Trinity is our deposit, is our down payment, is our pledge of that which waits in heaven for us. And see, that's where Paul is going. Because Paul says at the end of verse 30, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Redemption, the very word itself, redemption or ransom, it implies bondage. It's the sense of ransom in these crime dramas when you have kidnappers and they demand $1 million ransom. There's bondage that's there. But the immediate question then comes to mind, but were we not redeemed by Christ already? Are we not already set free from the bondage of sin? And there's a sense, yes, that's absolutely true. But we need to remember that the language of Scripture does past, present, and future tense for all of salvation. We have been saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. This is the already and the not yet. We have indeed been set free from the bondage of sin, but here's the kicker. We still have to deal with the pollution of sin. And because of that, we look for what Paul here says, the day of redemption when we will be set totally free. The day when Christ returns. And there will no longer be pollution in us. And what a thing that will be, that we will have a point in time, a point in eternity, in which we will never grieve the Holy Spirit again, nor anybody else, but especially not the Holy Spirit. That day of redemption will be the day that we are set free from all sin. Not just simply the bondage and dominion of sin, but its pollution. And the Spirit is the seal to authenticate to you that those promises of God are true and right and secure for you and for me. So yes, my friends, we may grieve the Holy Spirit with our sin. But because you and I have been sealed by Him and in Him and with Him, we look forward to a day of redemption, the day of redemption, when Christ returns. This is the beautiful image of what a Christian family ought to be. Yes, we grieve one another, do we not? Let's face it, we do. Let's be honest. There are times we do it. But we're still family, are we not? I've always been amazed to hear stories of, in particular, grandparents, where they become disappointed in what a grandchild does in their life. But at the same time, they never stop loving that grandchild. Oh, they're grieved over what they may have done. Maybe a teenager gets into all kinds of trouble, in trouble with the law, runs around with the wrong crowd, but that grandmother will still love them. So it is with the Holy Spirit. So it is with our great God. Though our actions will frequently grieve Him, yet we are still His. That's what the sealing of the Holy Spirit guarantees for us. But the beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit is not just merely a stamp, as it were, a seal embossed on a piece of paper. He is living and active and working in your hearts, giving you the very grace that you need from Christ to overcome the pollution of sin in your life. And the Lord knows we need that kind of power. This is our loving God. The God who sealed us with the Holy Spirit, that despite the fact that we grieve Him, we are sealed unto Him to all eternity. We are guaranteed an inheritance, we who trust in Christ, because Christ purchased for us the Holy Spirit. He poured His Holy Spirit upon us, united us to Christ, united us to one another, He's given us the means of grace by which we can overcome sin in our lives and then stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Thus, my friends, I would encourage you, rest in the promised Holy Spirit. Rest in the one who indwells you even now, so that you too will stop grieving him. Thanks be to God, though, for the love that we have of him that will continue to transform us to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Because without the Holy Spirit, we'd still be stuck in our filth. But little by little, because of his power, we are being more and more cleansed. May the Lord help us, uplift us, and strengthen us so that we may no longer grieve him. Let's pray.